right, folks, welcome back. We might need a new introduction here because this is the football edition. We haven't been around since Christmas. Jeremy Moss here, Matt Kennerly. So good evening. It's been a while since we've actually talked via podcast.
It has been a little while, hasn't it?
Stuff gets in the way. Christmas, New Year's, the stomach bug flu bites hard sometimes, but we're here. And the plan was about a week ago to recap all these bowl games, but we decided to do sort of a maybe quick hit, year in review, some hodgepodge news. But for those who are new, thank you for finding us. Our website, mwwire.com, Facebook, Mountain West Wire, where Wyoming wrestling coaches can play three sports at once and kick a field goal 90 feet out in one try.
I couldn't do that in like a million tries. So that is like one of the most impressive things that I will probably see all year long.
And I'm gonna pretend that it was his first and only try at that.
It's better that way. It's like
even if he took.
It's like what are those guys who do like the trick shots and all that stuff.
For basketball or
no, just like in general, like Dude Perfect or something like that.
I'm not familiar. I'm not sure.
I forget, but it seems like something they would do. So that's why it's so impressive.
And we appreciate people watching on our Facebook page, because we got a lot of people checking that out. Even pre-boosting, where we tossed a few bucks to get more reach, because we want to increase our Facebook page. Before I even did that, we've had thousands of people look at that video, so that's pretty cool. So thank you for that. And we're not going to talk about that. We'll talk some Wyoming, but I want to mention that. If you haven't seen it, it was pinned on our Facebook page, but we have a t-shirt thing now on there we'll talk about later. Because, you know, undefeated forever is a thing. But if you go to our actual website, it's on one of the, on the front, above the fold. So one of the top five posts. It's just a Wyoming wrestling coach kicks a 90-foot bank shot, which he called for sure. Of course he did. But go watch it there because it's impressive. It's probably, like, this is obviously just going to be trick shot season. You'll see guys throwing, who was it? Was it a Texas QB or somebody? Or, I don't know who it was, but on the Sea-Doo or something, jet ski, catching passes.
Yeah, wasn't that Baker Mayfield?
Oh, Baker Mayfield, Oklahoma. You'll see that. We've seen the San Jose State guy throw from the top of the building of the stadium into the garbage can. We've seen Brett Rippin twerk before. Not a trick shot, but just a cool video of some sort. Maybe not cool, but odd. But it is officially off-season trick shot season, so look for a bunch of those. But like even Derek Carr, this would probably be the closest one. Wasn't it Derek Carr? Maybe it's David Carr. I think it's Derek. Threw it over the house through a basketball hoop like two off seasons ago.
Oh, yeah, that was Derek Carr.
Derek Carr. But over the house where you can't see the hoop.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably, I think those two are probably the best I've seen in a while.
For sure.
But I'd still put this one. Spin the football, kick the football, 90 feet out, bank shot in. There's nothing that could top that. Just retire, right? Nothing else could be done. So, what we're actually going to talk about, we're going to get into recap bowl season. So I guess we're going to do quick hits. Is that the best way to do it? Because we're, 3 weeks away from all these games that happen?
Well, the Idaho Potato Bowl is on December 22nd. We're recording tonight, January 11th. So, yeah, been about 3 weeks.
Let me say this. Bowl season in general was pretty good. Mountain West was 3-3. They were, 14 points? I don't get the exact number, but almost 6-0. One overtime game, correct? Right, just the Arizona Bowl is overtime.
Yes,
you had the one possession Army San Diego State game, and then the Fresno game. That was a victory, but the Marshall CSU game, which we discussed,
all three of the bowl game losses were by one score, which tells you
that's
something.
What I was thinking. Yeah, and so did we talk about let's just do this real quick. Potato Bowl. Let's kind of quick hit through this. I know it's old, but we want to talk about football. We haven't talked about these games for a while. How much did you watch a lot of the Potato Bowl?
I
know it was a while ago.
I did not get a chance to watch the Potato Bowl. I was on the road to Southern California, and I remember you messaging me, telling me exactly how it went down.
We called it exactly. If you don't remember, I think you and I both, because both these teams are good at the turnover margin, but Wyoming is superior at turnover margin. And as their Twitter account shows, they do not need a sideline prop to show their dominance. They just prove it on the field.
That's true.
Plus eight. Not just plus eight, 8-0.
Yeah, I thought when you sent me that, I thought you had sent me a typo of some kind.
Because that happens. I do typos.
And then when I went to look at the box score and everything afterwards, like, yeah, it seemed like everybody was getting into it. It's actually kind of a shocker, I think, that the final margin was only 37-14. It seems like with 8 turnovers, you should have had a lot more points than that.
They should have. The first half, like a lot of it talk about this game was, we mentioned turnovers and what's Josh Allen going to do because he's healthy. His first half was great. He only had 154, three touchdowns, 11-19, still just okay for completion percentage, but short fields. He had a couple of great throws for touchdowns early on, but it was just a game where short fields. He should have scored more points. He had a couple of field goals in this one, but four interceptions. Carl Granderson had I call that too. Let's get Carl Granderson a big man touchdown. Mm-hmm. Called it. A lot of my picks go well, but everybody focuses on me predicting Wyoming to beat New Mexico basketball by 30, and I blow it. So it's just a good dominant game. That's all. It's all. There's nothing else to really say besides this defense. Like next week, we'll get to kind of our stupid early previews for 2018, but the defense is going to be back, and they're dominant. And Logan Wilson, Granderson, even Gaffian had a really good game. So Central Michigan had nothing really. Yeah. They had a good receiving group. Passing was pretty good, but they had to because they're down.
Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because, you know, Shane Morris was 23 of 39, but he also had four interceptions, which pretty much tells you entirely. I mean, what's interesting about Wyoming going into next year, you know, just to give the Cowboys fans a taste. What's interesting to me is it seems like going into 2018, at least on offense, they're going to be in the exact opposite situation than they were coming into this year, because, you know, now all of a sudden you've got, you know, at least two guys, three guys at running back who, you know, even if they weren't necessarily efficient or effective this year
or good.
Yeah. Well,
come on.
it was rough. You know, it was obviously there was a little bit of a decline after Brian Hill, but, you know, they're going to have all those guys coming back. They're going to have all of their skill position receivers coming back. They're going to have, mm-hmm. you know, Austin Fort, the touchdown machine, coming back. Everything but the quarterback. And, you know,
is that a bad thing, though? Because,
well,
did you see Pro Football Focus? I think you tweeted that from our account, his stats from last year to this year, they were basically comparable at best.
Yes and no, because, yeah, while Allen didn't necessarily take the step forward that I think a lot of us anticipated he would, like, we saw what the offense looked like with Nick Smith under center. So,
oosh.
You know, obviously, there's still like the secondary signing day coming up in about, what is it, like 3 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, around Valentine's Day, I think, a week before Valentine's Day.
So, you know, they may or may not bring in a quarterback. They may or may not, you know, get one of their young quarterbacks. Like, I believe, Tyler Vanderwall was the redshirt freshman this year. I'm expecting there to be a lot of quarterback competition throughout the spring and throughout the fall. So, but I think that that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't be a contender. But they might be kind of the darkest horse out there going into 2018.
Do you want to know a quick, we're going to have, by the time you hear this will be out. So I'll mention now we're doing some early 2018 stuff. Like I already made out my own top 25, which we'll talk about that because I think Fresno should be in the mix for top 25. And we'll talk about them a second here because we're going to talk about the Hawaii Bowl. But looking at really quick, the power rankings for next year, I figured out it's going to be a cakewalk. You know how Wyoming, really quick, they have a, this won't give everything away, but somebody actually put Wyoming first place into preseason next year.
Huh.
There is, and it's all over the board. My pick is Boise because I think that's most obvious. But here's how they rank overall. I get it'll maybe give away their positioning, but first place, second place, a fourth place, a fifth place, 2 6th place, 2 7th place, an eighth, and a ninth.
So all over the map then?
Yeah, all over the map, which we'll talk about more a bit next week, but I don't know. Their defense is going to be back. Most of their offense. I maybe put them to. I'll cough up. I was the lowest one. I put them 9 because their offense wasn't very good with a good quarterback, and that's a pretty big position as we can see or tell from what happened this year. Defense will be what, top 3, top 4. Then Boise, Aztecs, and Fresno will be all right there in the mix. So, but they're basically all over the map. So it's kind of shocking where they're at. But they. We'll get to it later, but defense will be elite. Offense is mostly almost all back, so maybe I undervalued them at this point in freaking January.
Huh.
And another prediction to go wrong because my second one, bad prediction, I guess, because the hoops was terrible.
Well, you did. I believe you did. I did believe you did predict them to win the Potato Bowl, though. I did not. So
of course, yeah. So suck it.
There you go.
All right, let's go to the next quick bowl game. Here we're gonna. Blast for these. The next one, oh, shoot, my screen is not cooperating. Do you want to go to, or let's go to the Army-San Diego State game, just because that's the one on top of my mind.
That game was amazing.
This, I didn't rank the bowl games I was going to, but I didn't. that has to be the number one Mountain West Bowl game. Would you think so? Even though Utah State and New Mexico State went to overtime, the way this game played out, it was just impressive because there was the drive we'll get to that yielded 0 points for Army. That was, what, 12 minutes?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was really interesting to see that this was not really that much of a contrast to styles, but just the fact that both of those teams ended up getting their production in vastly different ways. You know, the fact that Rashad Penny carried the ball just 14 times, but he managed 221 yards. When you compare that to what Army was able to do, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw needed 32 carries to get to just 180. And, you know, even the guys behind him, Darnell Wolfolk, Andy Davidson, you know, they had about 80 yards apiece, but they combined for 35 carries between them. So Army was really putting the Aztecs front, you know, especially that front line through the grinder. And, you know, I have to give them credit because, like, it's not easy to face that kind of offense. And it's, you know, they probably gave up more third downs than they would have liked. I think Army ended up going 13 of 18, which is by far, you know, I believe San Diego State's worst third down performance of the year. So that was kind of uncharacteristic of them, but it's not as though that they weren't making plays, you know, because they ended up with 1, 2, 3. You know, actually, that was one thing I pointed out. I misspoke. Because I think one of the problems that I noticed early on was they weren't really getting into the backfield as much as they had been throughout the year, and they only ended up with 3 tackles for loss, which when you're considering Army ran the ball 87 times as a whole, that's a huge problem, and that inevitably paid dividends for the Black Knights, especially in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, watching this game, like I figured, because we mentioned like Army schedule wasn't tough outside of playing like Ohio State and whoever they play, their independents, they play, like, they play Navy, they play Air Force, they play, like, Buffalo's not very good, Tulane was, all right, UTEP's not, fired their coach midseason. I mean, they beat Temple, they won a lot of games, so give them credit, they beat Duke, but, like, overall for who they played, like, outside of Navy and Ohio State, this is the team right there, probably the second best team they played, and they beat them. Mm-hmm. And I figured blow up, because I figured there's no way Bradshaw could keep up or any running game, even if they ran like they did 87 freaking times. Figured the Aztec defense would do something because look at these tackles, like, just, you know, 17 tackles, Lockalaka, 15 tackles, Baldwin, 10 tackles, 9 tackles, Rod Smith, Tariq Thompson, 9 tackles. They had, like, that's part of it just because 87 rushes, but still, it's, I had no clue or didn't think that they'd be that productive. We knew they'd get the yards, but 5 touchdowns, 440 yards? What does that come out to? Like, what, 5 yards a carry?
About 5.1, yeah.
And there's a couple things, too. There's some penalties that hurt San Diego State. They had 10 for 82. There's a couple personal fouls early on the offensive line that were not good. But it's hard to tell, too. Like, the stats are deceiving. If you just look at the numbers, yes, Aztecs ran the ball well. Rashard Penny had, what, 250-plus yard runs, untouched, essentially, the 81-yarder and another long touchdown. The goal, they'll land 11 first downs. But here's the thing. They only had the ball for 14 minutes of the whole game.
Mm-hmm.
14 total minutes. That's all.
That's insane.
So the yardage is going to be... Yeah, outdone. And they probably should have won this game. Because they had that late fumble, and I think they probably should have. Is that too much to say?
Well, I mean, I think that they definitely had some breaks go against them because they had the interception that was, you know, to me, when I believe it was Anthony Luke intercepted the ball, you know, I believe it was after Army's game chewing drive.
You know, here's what it is. Yeah, here's how it goes real quick. They had that 20 play drive, 11 minutes, 19 seconds, missed field goal, where they went for it on fourth down once, I think, already in that drive. Yeah. Fourth and one got it. So they went that drive, 20 plays, 11, 19, 47, only 47 yards. That's like 2 yards a play.
Mm-hmm.
No points. Aztecs take that and go down and get a touchdown. They're up 28-21. You figured after that, we're Army using all their energy, and they get no points. Oh, no, sorry. It wasn't even a field goal attempt they went for. Sorry. They went for it on 4th and 10, had a loss of 9. That's terrible. Aztecs use that touchdown. Then the interception comes. So you get a crushing drive that gets nowhere. Aztecs score in, what, 3 plays? Does one of Penny's big run, a 49-yarder. Then they come back and pick off Army, and then that's where they're at Army 14, and then that's where it kind of goes off the rails.
Well, and that was where Chapman, and I don't really fault him for... You know, the throw that he made, because that was one of the more heads up plays that we saw you know, all bowl season where the defender was like falling down on his knees backwards and mm-hmm. still managed to get a hand up for the tip drill. Jeez. You know, if San Diego State scores there, I think it's probably safe to say the game is over. Like, even if, you know, Army was able to grind out another touchdown or two, I think with a 2-score lead, you know, which is something that the Aztecs never had in this game, they might have forced the Black Knights to do something that they don't really want to do, which is throw the ball a little bit more. Yeah.
Were they 0-for-1, 1-for-3 in this game or something?
They were 1-for-4.
1-for-4.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, you know, if you're looking for one big play that maybe changed the tenor of the game, it's not necessarily that one long drive. It's the interception that Chapman threw. But again, I don't really fault the decision making. That was just a really good play by the Black Knights. And then, you know, maybe you can make the argument that they left too much time on the clock left for Army when they went up 35-28 because, you know, they went down and then they went for two. And it was actually a pretty brilliant play call, you know, going to the, mm-hmm. the sideline on the 2-point conversion and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely an argument that the Aztecs should have won this game. But I feel like that takes a lot of credit away from the Black Knights. You know?
Well, I'm just saying, like, I just felt I'm not taking away credit from them, because look at the points. Did anybody score that many points against Aztecs all year? 42 points? I believe that's the most anybody scored against them, correct?
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, because Boise had 31. That was it. That was the next, 31, 17 Stanford, 20 ASU, 28 NIU was up there. But yeah, it's Boise 31. So, no, I'm not giving Army credit, because late in the game, the situations were, yeah, the interception is just a great play by Army, but I'm saying I felt at that turning point where Army gets no points, Aztec score a touchdown, there's the interception, they get the interception, like, that's where I figured, okay, they got this.
Mm-hmm.
But then the end of the game, the fumble where it's, I think ESPN's scoring drive is wrong. Wasn't it 35-35?
No, it was 36-35, and then they threw the last-ditch lateral interception.
Okay, that's what I thought, because, like, here, I'm looking at here, it's like 35-28.
They're missing touchdown the again, 2-point conversion and stuff.
Yeah, okay, that's why I'm like, wait a minute. And so it's like, then you get the fumble, it's like, geez. It's just one of the top games overall. It's just unfortunate that Aztecs couldn't get it done, and they didn't have that many chances to do anything. But the chances they had, like, when they touched the ball, like, their drive chart, they had, what, 2 punts in the game? They had, every other one was a touchdown, and then the one interception. We mentioned possessions would be a minimal, man. We'll see what goes forward next year, but they lose Rashard Penny. Is Christian Chapman back for one more season, or is he done?
No, I believe he's a junior, so he should be coming back for his senior year.
Now that you have Christian Chapman, which he's getting better, so that's fine, but maybe Ryan Agnew will do something, but I don't know, it's just Juwan Washington had it. We didn't mention would he have a punt return for a TD as well, kick return?
Mm-hmm.
Had one of those in this game, so that takes away the yardage and everything. But dang, Penny, 6 straight games end the season with 200 yards.
Should have been a Heisman finalist.
Or excuse me, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sorry, 5. Excuse me, 5, 6 total. I don't.
Should have been a Doak Walker finalist too. Let's just leave it at that.
Should have been. Yeah, even to go by running backs, but like all-purpose yards, everything. But like, yeah, Saquon Barkley, probably be a higher draft pick because competition does matter. But to be that dominant, it's like, come on. But we'll see if he does next level. They say he's better than a Donald Pumphrey, who I think he's on the Eagles or practice squad bouncing up around with them. But we'll see how it goes. But like next year, like we'll have our rankings out. I think when you read this, they're kind of all over the board as well. They'll probably be about third or fourth or something, looks like second or third in that range, but we'll see. But it was if you missed this game, folks, you missed a good one, because it was one of the best games all weekend or all week of bowl season. Should we go to the island in Hawaii?
Let's do
Hawaii.
It.
So what was your thoughts on this game? You were pretty excited. It was a solid victory.
It was a really back and forth affair, you know, but I think what ultimately made the difference was the fact that, you know, one of the things we pointed out in the preview that I remember very clearly is, you know, when I did the Q&A with the Houston writer over at Underdog Dynasty, he mentioned that he thought the Houston running game would be a huge factor. And in this particular case, it wasn't, because they only ended up averaging.
Wait, excuse me. Ed Oliver running the tackle.
Okay, well, he had like a one-yard touchdown.
Touchdown?
And that was after he stepped on the sea urchin. Let's not forget that, too.
Oh, geez. Yeah, that was all over the place.
But, I mean, between the two running backs, Mobile Carr and Duke Catalan, they had 18 carries and only 32 yards. And I think that that's a huge credit to the Fresno State front line because, you know, even without, you know, Nathan Madsen, the front line played a very good game. They ended up with 9 tackles for loss as a team and really forced Derek King to try to win the game. And, you know, to his credit, he almost did. He ended up with 269 yards and a touchdown, but he only completed 23 of 43, so he wasn't quite as efficient as he wanted to be. And a lot of his targets ended up going to Stephen Dunbar, who I thought would play a big role. And he did end up doing that with 10 catches for 197 yards. But, you know, they ended up punishing him for mistakes. And that was, you know, when you look at the game-winning pick six from Jaren Bryant, you know, it kind of gives you hope for next year, where even though they're going to lose a couple of key pieces up front, like Malik Forrester is graduating, for instance, I'm pretty sure everybody else is coming back. And so,
yeah, I looked at this really quick because I was doing like this, the top 25. Like, where's Fresno? McMarion's back. Their top 4 running backs, whoever, if they all stay, Rivers, Mims, Holkett is back. 3 of their 5 offensive linemen are back. Keyshawn Johnson and 3 of the top 4 receivers are going to be back. So they're going to be as good or better next year, I think.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about like young teams in the conference, or when we talk about, you know, one side of the ball or the other with a lot of talent coming back next year. You know, we just talked about the Wyoming defense. You know, we've talked a lot about, you know, Boise State returning a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. This is a team that I think, I mean, is it stupid upset pick to say that they're like a supreme dark horse to make a New Year's Day run next year?
No, because we can get to that really quick in a second. Here's why, like, I also did a composite top 25. Like, we knew Boise would be on there, UCF because they bring back most of their line, their quarterback and running back. Boise because similar situation. Outside of Cedric Wilson, most of their linemen are back. Madison, Rippon will get all the snaps, most of the defense. Here's the reason why. Like, what you and I just mentioned, the amount of talent they're coming back, a 10-win team, and their schedule is, yeah, they got Idaho, which... You're welcome, Fresno State football, for me fixing that for you. It's an FCS team now. That's kind of funny. But they go to Minnesota, who, okay, whatever, it's a Big Ten team, to UCLA, who have new head coach in Chip Kelly, new quarterback Josh Rosen's gone, and they get a Toledo without Logan Woodside at home. Minnesota and UCLA are both road games. That's good enough. That's a pretty good schedule. You know what I mean? Like Jerry Palm of CBS saying, if you want a playoff, you need like a bunch of P5 teams. But that schedule's formidable enough. That's about as good as what Boise had with playing teams like, because BYU should be better. They played Virginia, who's, or no, it was Boise, but Boise played Virginia, played BYU, they played Washington State. So that's pretty comparable, I would say, overall, for the most part. And they get, here's the thing too, but they go to Boise, they got San Diego. They got a schedule, I think. No, you're not far off. They're going to be a team nobody's going to talk about for whatever reason. And the reason Boise is getting ranked is partly because how college football is. It's the reason why Texas is ranked again for some reason, preseason stuff. It's a name recognition. Fresno doesn't have it because they were pretty bad prior to this year. But you are not far off. It might be, I'd say it's a lukewarm, stupid upset pick. But for those who actually watch the league and cover Fresno or cover the Mountain West, should realize, like, I'll give it right now my early pick. I'll spoil a little bit for my... I think Fresno can win the West Division, no questions asked. Not, like, I put them at the top at the moment to win the West.
I'm going to hold you to that.
What was that? You hold it to me?
I'm going to hold you to that.
Where do you feel on that? Or do you want to wait for your pick but next week?
I mean, I want to keep it kind of on the subject we're talking about because I feel like, you know, if I had to choose one team from the conference with the best odds to make a New Year's Day run, it's probably still Boise. Not only because of the fact that they're probably going to start next year ranked somewhere in the 20s, but they also have, I think, a little bit more of a conducive schedule that lets them do that because, you know, they have, you know, a game against a ranked Troy team who's still probably going to be pretty good, and they go to Oklahoma State, which will probably be ranked and things like that. So if they can get that, you know, ranked victory, and if they can go into, you know, non-conference play unbeaten, I think that that bodes well for the Broncos, you know, with as much talent as they have coming back. But I don't think Fresno State is that far behind them. to the point that, you know, if both of those teams are undefeated at some point during conference play, that could be a really crucial game going, you know, sometime in October or November of next year, this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whenever it is. I see the schedule, yeah, for favors Boise a bit, but no, Fresno, it could be a clear dark horse because there's, like, we're going to do our top 10 for the Underdog Dynasty poll they messaged us, but, like really quick, like, just to mention Houston, who's going to be pretty good, you'd see Kyle Allen declared for the NFL draft.
Yeah, I don't know why, but okay.
It's like, he's not going to transfer again because you're basically done. Like, you can't transfer after going from another two couple schools. You could, but it's just dumb. Maybe graduated, who knows why, but, or just, he's done. But, like, you, like, I'd have to look at better, more teams. Like, within this conference, you'd say Boise, Fresno, maybe San Diego State. They'll have their new offensive line back. Defense will be fine. It's got to only replace another 2,000-yard rusher. But outside of that, somebody for the Americans is going to be pretty good. South Florida loses a ton, loses a coach, obviously. Sorry, they don't lose their coach. Excuse me. That's Scott Frost, Central. UCF will be in the mix, maybe Memphis. I don't see anybody from the MAC unless NIU picks it up again. I'd look to do some more research because they were a little bit down. Like I said, Toledo loses Woodside. Nobody from the Sun Belt, even Troy, probably won't be in the mix. So there's like maybe four or five teams.
Can I just add real quick how stupid it is that South Florida ended the year ranked ahead of Boise?
I saw your tweet, but you made one little error in the tweet, buddy.
What was that?
You said Boise beat Washington State.
Oh, did I?
That's okay. Oh. But no, you're right. Like I did an article I mentioned like the in the I forget. Maybe it's, yeah, the one where the final poll. That's okay. Still better. Hey, that loss is still better than Temple. Their win over Temple, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Their best win was Temple. It was the only team above 500 they beat all year long. Yeah. And it's stupid that they ended the year ranked ahead of the Broncos. I don't understand.
And had they beat UCF, they had to play to Auburn.
And they had one fewer game. They won one game. And they didn't even play in the conference championship. Boise did.
Oh, no, that's Memphis. Sorry, I apologize. No, Memphis. That's right. Sorry. Yeah, how they beat? No, you're right. It's like they looked good. Like, I'm not saying they're a good team by watching them. But if you go by a little bit deeper, like who they're playing, who they're beating, the American was extremely top-heavy. Memphis is good. UCF. And I'm not saying USF is a bad team by any means. But when you're ranking, it's, you don't want to use like the transitive property, like, oh, you beat who, but look at the records you're playing. Like, didn't we even say like Stony Brook, who won 10 games, is like their second best win possibly?
They probably are, yeah.
But it is ridiculous who Boise beat. Like, they split Fresno, beat San Diego State, beat CSU, almost beat Washington State,
beat lost Wyoming. UVA.
Yeah, beat Wyoming. So it's like, well, a lot of bowl teams on there, so that's stupid, but they might be. I don't think they'll be in the mix, but there's only a couple of teams. But no, I'd say Fresno, like, let's hop on that now because they're a team that's off the radar. Maybe you sometime next month, like, when we start doing some early 2018 stuff just for the heck of it, put them as one of the teams that'll make one of your picks because that's not far off who they have back and who they're playing. It takes a lot of luck to go undefeated as well, and their schedule's good enough. Like, if USF is that close with who they played, Fresno's miles ahead of that with their non-conference schedule. And also, one last thing on USF, people are saying, well, have they beat Georgia Tech or have they elected to take the road game at Georgia Tech? Georgia Tech won five games. What would that have done for their playoff chance or get them any higher? Or no, that's UCF. Dang it, I get those mixed up. I'm done. Whatever.
By the way, the whole UCF as national championship thing, also stupid.
Even though we're leaning into it, don't say it's that stupid.
Okay, well,
I'm kidding. No, it's dumb.
We'll talk about that more a little bit later.
We got one more game to talk about real quick. We will talk about something that's ridiculous and we're going to embrace and hate at the same time. New Mexico State, Utah State. So I'd like to blame my DVR for not recording this game, so I missed the whole thing. I'm like, oh, I got this. CBS Sports Network. I can watch a little bit. No, family doing stuff. It's a Friday, a little bit of work day. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll watch it later. I saw some highlights, but New Mexico State, good for you for storming the field, traveling the 4+ hours, selling out the stadium essentially, beating Utah State. Hey, we did not see this all year, Matt. Lawan Hunt, 133 yards on the ground, one touchdown.
I mean,
kudos.
Looking up and down the stat sheet, it seems like the defense, I think, for Utah State deserves a lot of credit for keeping them in this game because, you know, on the one hand, Utah State's offense was only 2 of 18 on third downs.
Yep.
Is that the single worst third down performance of any team this year?
It's one of the worst.
It's got to be in the conversation. But, I mean, conversely, New Mexico State was only 4 of 22 on third downs. So,
that's terrible.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a little wild when you really
think about it. So did I not miss much missing this game?
Well, I mean, I think that there was a little bit of erratic quarterback play on both sides because, you know, Jordan Love ended up making the start for Utah State, and he only went 25 of 44. But, you know, Tyler Rogers, we knew going into the game he was going to throw and throw and throw. But he only had 191 yards, and he only averaged 3.5 yards per attempt, and the Aggies did pick him off two times. So, you know, we've talked about how the defense especially seemed to be kind of all over the map, you know, from week to week this year, where they would get, you know, really good performances against really bad teams and then get overwhelmed against really good teams. And this seemed to kind of break that trend a little bit. And so, you know, they're going to be losing Jalen Davis at a minimum. And I can't remember. I think Dallin Leavitt is also graduating, if I'm not mistaken.
I'll see. But Leavitt, yeah, people are mad at it, put him on the all-bowl team. Like, well, it's hard to quantify. I know he played well because they didn't throw his way, but he had no pass breakups, no pass defense. So I'm like, well, I was looking at numbers because I missed a game. So, but they were not throwing to his. That's part of the reason they played so well. They were not throwing his way the entire game.
Well, Dallin Leavitt also had an interception.
Yes, interception and seven tackles. He was one of the DBs I picked. But yeah, he's a senior as well. And then also, you know, the big star we're missing, first team All-Mountain West kicker. What's his name?
Dominic Everly.
Elber, sorry, 2 of 6.
That's the difference in the game right there, isn't it?
By far, when you miss 4 field goals, and he's the first team all... Wasn't he the first team kicker, right?
I believe it was, yeah.
I don't want to blame one player, but... Kind of got to blame one player in this game, almost.
Well, and I mean, and it's and it wasn't just like the you know the missed field goal in overtime. You know, it was 29 yards. I'm trying to look real quick at what the other attempts were. You know, because a 48 yarder is not a gimme, so maybe that's maybe not give him too much grief for that. But he also missed from 49 and I'm trying to look this up 44.
Yeah, the last one.
So it was 44, that's... 48, 49, and then 29 in overtime. So. Yeah, maybe it looks a little bit rough on the stat sheet, but making that many field goals from 40 yards, not an easy thing to do.
Make one. Make one.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we make one, we're talking about an entirely different story.
Game over. They win.
But I think that, you know, in the same way that we talked about, you know, units with a lot of talent coming back, you know, obviously they'll have to figure out what to do with the running game. I don't believe LaJuan Hunt is coming back, is he?
Let me check. One thing about the running game I'll say when I was doing a Q&A, Utah State was undefeated when they had a 100-yard rusher this year. This is the first time they lost with having a 100-yard rusher.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he's a senior this year. So I was looking through, like, what could I find some interesting tidbits? Like, yeah, every time 100-plus. Maybe he's as a team. Maybe not even individual. I think it's individual, though. I'd have to look, but I'm not going to. But I think it was, yeah, 100 yards rusher. They won every game except this one.
But, I mean, I think that, you know, when you step back and look at what the Aggies were able to do on the whole, you know, yeah, obviously there were some individual weeks that weren't necessarily that pretty. But I mean, especially on offense through the air, like if they know that they're settled on Jordan Love going into the future, you know, as a team, they ended up right around the middle of the conference as far as, you know, quarterback rating and touchdowns to interceptions and things like that. So while there is room to grow, you know, while they are going to have to figure out what they're going to do at running back, which was a little bit uneven from week to week.
Which is fine. I'm fine with that.
It seemed like there was a little bit of growth, especially near the end of the year, where, you know, they basically blew up against UNLV, and then they had really good performances against Hawaii and Air Force as well. So it's going to be incumbent on David Yost and the rest of this offensive, you know, position players, Love and Ronquavion and Tarver and, you know, Dax Raymond and all those guys. Mm-hmm. If they can take a step forward, they're going to be a really tough team to deal with going into next year.
They're just a team. Like, I don't get them. Like, they played bad. Like, yeah, they lost Air Force, but played well. They beat a bad New Mexico team. They crushed a pretty good. Well, Hawaii was kind of circling the drain late in the year. They had to come back first UNLV, but like, they basically lost to the good teams essentially on their schedule, and they beat the teams they should have outside of Air Force. So that's kind of how it is. They're just like you mentioned, middle of pack passing. That's kind of what they were this year. Is also going back and forth with quarterback play was an issue. But, like, they lost to Wake, who's better than them. CSU, Wyoming, bowl team, Boise, bowl team. Air Force, not a bowl team, but on the or verge now is a loss because of the strip sack fumble to finish the game off, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then you lose to another bowl team in Mexico and Wisconsin, who is a top five team or top 10 team end of year. So it looks like, well, maybe I'm being over picky, but they just seem so inconsistent half the time this year. Because they crushed San Jose State, who's terrible. They crushed BYU, part of the Jalen Davis show, with his touchdowns and picks. But it just seems like when they were close to a decent team, they didn't seem – like even losing to Wyoming by five didn't seem all that close, or CSU, 13-point loss. It's like maybe it's just a quarterback play going back and forth and still not having a running game that was the reason where I'm like, what team's going to show up, because I never was really confident.
Yeah, I mean, it was a team in transition, but one of the things that – you know, I'm sure I'll mention it again, but I might as well mention it now. You know, we talk about, you know, things that you can look at when it comes to trying to, you know, think – ahead to the next season. With Utah State, it's worth keeping in mind that they were 0-3 in games decided by one score or less.
Same as last year. Weren't they like 0-5 last year or something like that, and 8 points or less?
Yeah, I forget exactly what their record was, but you know, they lost the bowl game by 6 points. They lost the Air Force game by three, and then they lost the Wyoming game by 5 points. So that's one of those things where, you know, if it regresses to the mean, which is to say regresses more or less back to 500, you know, assuming that they progress on offense and that, you know, the defense can also take a step forward as well and replacing those key players, you know, this is a team that looks like it has a pretty steady foundation to build upon.
I think they do. I just want to see more consistent. It's got to flip one way. You're not going to have 3 years in a row to losing so many games by one touchdown or less, or one score or less, 8 points or fewer.
Yeah.
All right, so let me go over my bowl team here, because I made this all by myself, and people are hating because Boise State fans, because I have more Utah State and Aztec fans on this than Boise, or not fans, but players. Here's what I put real quick. I'll just mention this. Offensive line, I kind of went off the running attack. Who had a good running game? I chose them. Because, like, you pick the Aztec running game or offensive line, the Utah State offensive linemen, Fresno, Christian Kronk, because they played protected QB as well pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I put to skill players. Marcus McNair is my MVP, which is by far – or, yeah, I put MVP. I think I did. Yeah. No, Penny did, sorry. First-team quarterback, McNair, makes sense. Rashard Penny, 221, 4 TDs. Lawan Hunt, obviously 130 yards TD.
Mm-hmm.
Cedric Wilson, Ronquavion Tarver, and Obasi Johnson from CSU.
Mm-hmm.
Any arguments could be made for anybody else?
I mean, not that I could think of. It seems people, like at least as far as the skill positions are concerned, it seems like you got it pretty much right on.
Boom. Yeah. So with only six games, it's not terribly hard, I don't think. Defense people are mad at me because I went off numbers because I watched most of every game. I didn't, like I say, I couldn't see the New Mexico State game because stupid DVR, so I could only do highlights and no replay of the game. So people point out, well, Jalen Davis stopped everybody and they never threw to him, so it's, maybe he should have been on the mix. But the DB play was huge. Like, that was tough for me to settle down. And linebacker, but like choosing Kaiva Tisneo, 17 tackles. How can you not put him on the list?
That's true.
Or Vander Esch, who was my MVP, 3 TFL, sack, forced fumble. People are upset about Carl Granderson. I'm like, dude, he had a sack, TFL, and a touchdown. Come on.
Well, I mean, I think that there are certain positions where, you know, you could make pretty sound arguments for any number of people.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Vander Esch, whether it's Granderson, whether it's, you know, Jalen Davis, where if it doesn't show up on the stat sheet, it doesn't mean he wasn't effective and things like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
But, you know, just looking over on both sides of the ball, I didn't really see any glaring things. One thing I was curious about, you didn't mention a tight end at all.
I did not. Tight ends are gone. Sorry. Is there? If I had a tight end, who would I pick on there? I don't even have anything in front of me.
If it were me, I probably would have gone with Jared Rice, who he ended up having his best game ever, actually. 6 catches, 84 yards in the Hawaii Bowl win.
Okay, did I even choose 11 players in offense?
You did. You actually went with two running backs, three receivers. So
okay, making sure
you were operating out of the whole, like, you know, Madden offense with, you know, two running backs flanking you and three receivers outside. You know,
split back. Yeah,
that
exactly.
That whole kind of thing.
What a motion. No, that's fair. I was debating tight end. I'm like, well, like Johnson or a tight end. He had 6 for 119 or Tarver. I was like, and then like, I thought I did. pretty well overall looking through who did what. Like, there's some guys you don't hear, like Max McDonald from CSU, you don't hear very much, but a couple TFLs, a sack.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I did fair enough. There's I think the biggest complaint was because Boise State was so dominant on defensive line because they shut down Oregon to basically nothing. It's like, yes, but I'm going by, like, this is not a team award. This is by what players stood out the most. And if I'm going off the defensive line, like, really, I went for a 3-4 just because. Like, I said, Granderson, a TD. Johan Gafayan, 2.5 TFLs, 2 sacks, a breakup, and a forced fumble. That's extremely dominant. And then I have Okiki from Fresno State, who had a PBU, 2 TFLs, a sack, 5 total tackles. Maybe remove him, but nobody on the Boise defensive line played that great. Overall, I mean, like, for individual stats, I should say, sorry.
You know what? I would have put Curtis Weaver on there with 2 sacks.
I was thinking, that was the only guy I was debating between him and Okiki. I was debating, I wasn't sure. So I went with the pass breakup as well, and that's kind of why I went in there. That's a pretty big deal too. But that's like the only guy I was debating with.
You know what we should do next year? We should just do like an honor roll of some kind for bowl season. So that way nobody's left out.
But I want a team to play. I want to put a roster together.
Well, then.
Isn't this an honor roll?
So we're not handing out participation trophies. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not going that far, but I'm not going to go too deep because there's only 6 teams, man. Come on. But there's players going to be mixed up. Maybe I should have done a 4-3. Would that have been better? And then remove, I don't know, Logan Wilson, but he had a forced fumble to pick. Jeez, come on, give me a break. I guess I could have removed Kaivea to Zanio because I'm using air quotes only. He had no pass breakups, no TFLs, no sacks, but 17 total tackles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, that's like machine worthy all over the field. So people have already hated me when I retweeted this again this week, but if your nitpick is one position, I think I did a good job.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the arguments that people are making, and I think that there are fair arguments all around, but it's really hard to quibble too much with what you came up with.
Yeah, I guess Jalen Davis and Weaver, that's about it.
Yeah.
But then again, I put his teammate Dallin Love at 7 tackles and a pick. I'm like, well, that's pretty good too. So I guess we should get a little bit of newsy stuff here. Should we talk about the Colorado State situation really quick before you got to take off today? Because we're cutting it close.
A little bit weird. A little bit of weirdness going on in Fort Collins.
So as my autoplay video plays in the background, let me close that here, folks. Day of the national title game, it was announced Football Scoop was first. And then confirmed by like the Colorado and Kyle Lelly and those type of guys that the Rams are hiring defensive back coach from Roll Tide to come in, Derek Ansley, to come in to be the DC, which people say like SEC country, like, oh, he's one of the best recruiters. He's coaching the SEC, like what, Tennessee, Kentucky, Bobo, obviously Georgia for 2 decades. So he knows that area very well. And the unit is one of the best. I think I looked at some numbers, the most pass efficient secondary in the country. And then if you watch the game, like, I know there's athletes on the field, like they're way better, but I was going to debate doing a piece. I'm like, oh, what's an angle we could take? Okay. The new DC's coaching the secondary. What's showing up? There is that amazing one-handed pick. The guy comes across the field, like one of the early possessions to catch a one-handed pick. There was a corner blitz and I get talent. And then the DC calls the plays, but you can see what type of athletes and scheme he's running out there because DBs are running all over the place. And if I recall from the broadcast, they were down at least one starter like they had a backup who recently came into more playing time due to injury or something. So they have depth, and then but you coach and everything. I get it, CSU to Bama, talent discrepancy. But when you see the scheme, there's stuff that we could see was there. However, looks like as of today, which is Thursday, well, he's going to the Oakland Raiders.
That was fast.
Potentially to be the join Chucky to be the secondaries coach.
Something like that happened to Fresno State this past off season too. I forget the guy's name, but he was here for like a week and then he took a job with Cal actually.
So, and also Hawaii with Zach Hill.
Yeah. So it's not as though it's unheard of, but it's going to be really interesting to see who the Rams bring in now because you know, obviously they'll have some holes. I think they still have some holes to fill in their recruiting class this year. But, you know, they're still going to need someone to help them take the next step forward on defense. And so...
Because it wasn't very good.
Yeah. So do we have any sense of like who they're looking at now?
I don't know. It's I'm trying to see here what else has happened. There's nothing like I should look up Football Scoop. Like if you have an Athletic subscription, head over to Chris Vanini. He does a bunch of stuff on that from being at Coaching Church before. Nothing that I could tell. Like this, that hire was sort of out of nowhere. Just because outside of knowing Bobo and those SEC guys, I don't like. Here's the thing. Well, one quick thing on him going to the Raiders. What makes it interesting to me is that, well, a couple things. One, if he were to take the CSU job, he'd be at a place where he's never recruited, never been out west. He played at Troy, coached in the SEC for his entire career, only a DB coach for 2 years at Alabama, and, well, obviously SEC before that, Kentucky and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
But how would he adjust? Because not that he's just a DC, he's for an offensive coach. And what is this trajectory? He's never recruited out there. He'd probably go back to that part of the country. So that's a kind of a culture, not culture thing, but a football culture, I should say, from where you're at to recruiting and those type of things. But then also, what does he want to be as a coach? Because if you're a DB at Colorado State or defensive coordinator at CSU, next step would be a head coach somewhere, most likely, or maybe a defensive coordinator at a bigger program. That's clearly the path he'd want to take. But if you're going to be a DB coach in NFL, where does that? What's the next step from there? Just bounce, you know what I mean? Like, what is his end goal? Does he want to be an NFL coach, a college coach? Because having the diversity is a big deal to coming back to college. But if you're in the NFL, there's no recruiter. You're just coaching. It doesn't matter. He's going to have the best talent in the world. So basically similar to Alabama compared, relatively speaking, to what he'd be coaching at CSU. So I get the allure of the NFL, but what's his, we don't know this, but what's his main goal for a coach?
Okay, so I just, while you were talking, I went to try to find the latest, and it does look like Colorado State may have found a replacement already.
Oh, so where are you getting this scoop from? Where's the scoop coming from?
It is coming from footballscoop.com. They are saying John Jancic is probably going to be the new defensive coordinator.
Say that one more time. You broke up there.
John Jancic. He was a consultant at Kentucky this past season, but before that, he was the defensive coordinator at both Cincinnati and Tennessee for Butch Jones. So, you know, championship of life, I guess.
How does that, like, that doesn't seem like, well, I don't want to crap on the hire. It's your second choice, but at least he has experience. That's better than what Ansley was bringing in.
That's true.
Or Ansley. So there's that. Coached a bigger program. But I guess here's the thing, too. Jeff Tefford was a consultant for Washington. So that worked out pretty well for the Dogs.
And just going back over the last couple of years, I forget exactly when he was. I don't have the years of when he was a DC in front of me. But I just went back on a per-play basis, at least through the last three seasons. So 2014, 2015, 2016. Mm-hmm. Tennessee finished in the exact same place in the SEC every single year. They finished eighth. So, okay. I mean, that's okay, I guess. They were averaging a little under, you know, somewhere between 5.5 and 6 yards per play allowed in the SEC, which is, you know, it's good, not great. I'd have to look at what that is on the national average. But, you know, just off the bat, without having looked too much further into it, it seems, what, lukewarm, I guess?
You wanted to see how the Colorado, I found the article, want to see how they spun it?
How'd they spin it?
They go by total defense, which is a crap stat overall.
Okay.
94th to 37th from 2013 to 2015. And then this one's actually pretty good. Scoring defense went from 90th to 19th in 2 years. So scoring defense, that's a good stat, but total defense, whatever. I don't care about that.
Okay, so I just went and I went back and I looked. So he was at Tennessee 2013 to 2016. So I went back to 2013. They were 11th in his first year as defensive coordinator, and they averaged a little over 6 yards per play allowed. So there was some improvement, you know, perhaps like steady improvement, if not necessarily like, you know, game changing on the level of like Alabama or something like that. So, you know, maybe there is something there. I'm willing to kind of wait and see what, you know, other people's reactions look like before I make any kind of definitive judgment on it.
Yeah, it's interesting. It could be. We'll see. It's I'd like. I don't know. I guess Ainsley would make better because he's a younger coach, and more not an up-and-comer, but it also lacked experience. So this guy still coached a good level at Tennessee. He did show some improvement, not amazing improvement, but also the Rams' defense was pretty bad for the most, especially secondary. That's why I thought bringing in Derek Ainsley would be a good fit because he'd get those DBs up and going, and then also control defense overall. So it's hard to make a splashy hire for a defensive coordinator at Colorado State. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, who are you going to bring in that's like a huge name? It's going to be a guy either like this, like Jancic, who's out of coaching and consulting, or it's going to be a coach similar G5, DC, maybe Mac or Sunbelt, or position coach like we saw in Ainsley. So, excuse me. So it'll be fine. If they get Jancic, that's great. That'll be good. But it just kind of stinks. It's like with the Chris Baird thing at Texas Tech and UNLV. Coached for 3 days, essentially, then took the Texas Tech job.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. Should we get to, since you got to go in a few minutes, should we discuss the national title stuff?
Yeah, let's do that.
We're kind of leaning into it, I guess, now.
Let's do it.
So Central Florida, if you go by Colley Matrix, they're national champs by an old BCS computer.
Didn't we just get through having a long discussion about the BCS computers when it came to the home field advantage for the championship game? So now people want to put
stock
in it?
You like those computers.
I'm saying, okay, so yes, I did say that the computers probably got it right because not all wins are created equal. But come on, UCF's not number one.
I would say they're better than number 12 or whatever they were going into the final ranking.
That's probably true.
I figured they should have been about eight-ish or so.
But anyway, let's segue into what we were really going to talk about.
So here's what we did. So we made a little partnership. If you've ever seen BreakingT.com, check them out. They're pretty cool. It's basically about the guy who made For the Win at USA Today. So he has some pretty cool ideas. And I think he did AOL Fan House and all sorts of fun stuff. So he's a pretty big deal if you're into that type of stuff. So I reached out to him like, hey, we want to maybe earn a few bucks. We want to have some cool t-shirts because we're potentially looking at, if you like basketball, the Dome of Doom could be a thing coming down your pipe, on your backs. So I reached out, I'm like, hey, what do you guys got? He's like, I got an idea for a Boise shirt. And I'm like, I kind of felt where this is going. So he's like, let's make, because Tulane made official national title shirts with their bookstore, their 98 year with Sean King. And was it Mac Brown, their head coach at that time?
I don't remember who the head coach was, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't Mac Brown.
Who was the, you sure? Well, I don't care, whatever. I know Sean King was your quarterback. I thought Mac...
Tommy Bowden. Whatever.
Oh, it was Bowden. Okay, that's right. Sorry. Mac Brown came from North Carolina to Texas. Sorry. Southern accent guy. Come on, give me a break, right? So, they're like, yeah, we got an idea for a shirt. I'm like, okay, cool. So, since everybody's claiming national title, why don't we jump on the bandwagon, too? I think it's... we called it ridiculous. It is what it is. But why not embrace it? Because if you read random stuff on the internet the past week leading up to the title game, a million teams claim national titles without deservingly so. They were in national titles handed out pre-bowl games back in World War II era. If you recall, a year or two ago when Minnesota scheduled UNLV, their media guy covered claimed like five or six national titles.
Six-time national champion Minnesota Golden Gophers. I remember that.
I think where most of them, like, I don't remember what it was, but it was something where I think it's pre-World War II, I believe. I know this is probably not correct, but they were like, it was when they were giving out national titles before bowl games or something.
1904, 1934, 35, 36, 40, 41, and 60.
At least the ones within the past 60 years, barely.
So lots of wartime football titles, I guess, for the Gophers.
Yeah, when Army, Navy had their guys battling overseas.
Yeah.
The Nazis. So we decided to make a 2006-2009 national champion shirt. We were going to do 06. I'm like, well, let's include 09. Because 06, you remember, is the Oklahoma year for when they beat Oklahoma. Invincible, sorry. Statue of Liberty. You had the proposal. You had the hook and ladder. You had the wide receiver pass for the touchdown, which people forget about. Or maybe it's two-point conversion. Whatever it was, there's a score on a wide receiver pass. Then they beat in the worst matchup ever because the BCS hates the non-powers. TCU, number 3 versus Boise State in Fiesta Bowl. Boise won. So we made a shirt. commemorating that 2006-09 national champs, and we tried to make it a little. Me and Jamie were going back and forth. What should we do for a little tagline? So he had national title. I'm like, what about this? Actually, sir, excuse me. I shouldn't take credit for that. He took credit for this. I was thinking of something else. They put undefeated forever, which can't take that away, can you?
I like it.
So we need to start the hashtag undefeated forever, which I will have out tomorrow at the pre-scheduled post on Twitter.
Sounds good to me.
So if you want one of these shirts, here's where you go to find it. They're a crisp $25, which it's fair. It's cool. We do get a cut from it. So if you want to help with the podcast or the website, purchase a t-shirt from us, please. And to make it more clear, go to our Facebook page because it's pinned. Do not, I know they hate for me to say this, but do not go directly to breakingtea.com and order the shirt because we have a particular URL because I believe other sites are promoting the same shirt, which is fine. That's cool with it, but we have a particular link. So go to our Twitter page. It's pinned there. Our Facebook page, it's pinned there. And if you want a shirt, go order a shirt, DM us, and yeah, we're going to start doing t-shirts now, I guess.
You got to get this for the Boise State fan in your life.
Should we send one to Chris Hondris?
Might as well.
I need to get wedding gift, right? He just got married recently.
I mean, let's put it this way. Boise State, especially in 2009, they've got a better claim on a national title than UCF does this year. Let's just put it
They were ranked end of the season fourth. After, but TCU actually before them were three heading in. But yeah, they had very good claims. Also, here's a quick promotion we'll do too. We'll make some t-shirts. We have a few in the pipeline. But if you make a t-shirt and it gets approved, we will send you that t-shirt at no cost. We will buy that shirt and send it to you.
Nice.
So if you would like a shirt, we've made Quinterback shirts. I think that's retired because nobody's done that in a while, even though I still love the Quinterback. Maybe we'll bring back the Santa Ain't Play Nobody because that's pretty cool, I think. But if you create a t-shirt, here's the rules. You cannot use a school name at this moment. They are working on licensing stuff. You cannot use like player name, obviously, for NCAA purposes. But numbers are in play. So if you want to make a number or something for a player of some sort, if you have a shirtless must idea, or if you have just some idea. Football Bob? I'm giving away all the ideas I have. I should shut up right now. But but if you have a good idea and it gets approved and we decide to go with it, you'll get a t-shirt. How's that sound?
It's hard to beat. Free stuff.
Free stuff. So if you do that, just shoot me an email. Go to, I guess I'll make the easy email. I don't use very often, but I do check often. MountainWoodsFootball@gmail.com. So get a hold of us that way. If you want a t-shirt, cool. If you have an idea for a shirt, great. And maybe we'll reevaluate our Patreon ways because we've been slacking, so I apologize for those who have been nice to send us a few bucks at patreon.com/MWCWire. Maybe we'll make a t-shirt thing in there. If you contributed some stuff there, you get a free shirt every so often. So send us the ideas, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any ideas, quick idea for Fresno, Matt? Anything with a mustache and Pat Hill, maybe?
I'd have to
former coach it. Pat Hill. No, can we show empty seats at Safe Mart?
Oh, don't go there.
I'm sorry.
Fresno's not a basketball town. Let's just put it that way.
Dude, Deshaun Taylor, go watch him hoop before he's gone. I think that's our show for tonight. We've wrapped up everything, and you got to head out here in 6 minutes. So that's our show. So if you want the shirt, Facebook, Twitter, MWC Wire, Mountain West Wire on Facebook. If you want to see Wyoming coach kicking field goals from the wrestling team into basketball hoops, same place. Here's the quick schedule we're going to do. We're going to go once a week for the podcast. Next week, we'll do our stupid early 2018 picks just because we'll do, as you mentioned, was it March Shredness this year?
We'll do it at some point. Yeah, they're announcing the bracket, I think, region by region this week. So if you are interested in seeing what that's all about, if you were around for last year's discussion on March Fadness,
it was
more or less the same thing, just a bracket of the greatest 80s hair metal band, songs of all time.
Yeah, I got to study up.
MarchShredness.com. Or you can find them on Twitter at March Shredness.
Yeah, so check that out. We'll do one of those. We'll do some random stuff, early stuff. We'll get some interviews, but we promise to go once a week. That's a medium-sized promise. I think we did that nearly every week last year. So, but yeah, check us out. Subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Not Google Play. Sure, maybe we're on there. I don't know. Look for us. Give us a review because that helps us out a lot because we want more people to listen.
Word.
And if you like the show, tell a friend. give us a review, whatever you want it to be, 5 stars, preferably, and then tell us we suck. That's okay. If you like our basketball podcast, you like Eli better than me, great. If you like Matt better than myself, if you like Jeremy better than Matt, whatever, let us know who your favorite host is. We don't care. We won't fight about it. We're cool. We're good enough friends to take the heat, right?
Oh, yeah.
All right, so that's the show for tonight. So, again, check us out, mwire.com. And I can't say we're biased anymore, but we'll see you next time, folks.